Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report, or just the Puck Report. We're going to go national pretty soon once we get the NHL in Utah. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. Today, my guest, Kevin McCluskey. Kevin, you're the you're everything, right? You don't coach, but you pretty much do everything else. We'll call you the director, the hockey operations manager for the Utah Outliers.
So, Jay, thanks for having me. We do a lot of things, or I do a lot of things here, and sometimes we affectionately refer to it as the chief bottle washer.
Okay.
From recruiting to, you know, road trip planning to just, you know, and I'll go on the ice. I was in the ice earlier this week with Paul and Richard Bohan. And, this is year 9 for us here now. Paul and I came here 9 years ago.
What brought you to Utah? Like, tell me a little bit about your hockey background and tell me how you got into, like, why are you here? What happened to you that brought you to Utah?
You know, sometimes when things go south and another opportunity, another door opens. So just real quickly, Paul and I had been collaborating, 11, 12 years ago. He was in Dallas. I was in Fort Lauderdale. And we had an opportunity to potentially go to Glens Falls, New York with a building there. And we thought it was going to happen. And, you know, Kelsey had gone up and looked at it, Paul's wife, and my family had been up. And ultimately, the mayor closed the door on us, and it was like, oh, sugar, what are we going to do now? Paul had a friend out here who had the then Salt Lake City Moose, and we came out and started operating that. And Rich Walper got involved year two, and shoot, here we are 9 years now out at the Acorn. So that's how we ended up in Salt Lake City. And, you know, we look at Glens Falls, New York, and we were very disappointed when that didn't work. But, man, what a blessing it turned out to be.
Yeah.
We're in this part of the world in a spectacular, you know, living environment, Olympic City. It's a big city, but it's a small town. It's been absolutely fantastic. It would be pretty daggone hard to get Paul and I to leave this area here.
Yeah, Utah has that effect on people. And I spent a lot of the last 4 years in New York. I didn't know much about it before that, and I was going there quite frequently. And there are parts of New York I love, but I don't ever want to go back. You know, now that my daughter doesn't live there, I have no intention to go back. I like Utah. I love everything we have, and we're glad you're here. And I know you and I have crossed paths a few times.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, you even called me to have me come basically.
You've been out to a few fill-ins.
Yeah, I kind of e-bugged for you guys a couple times. It's kind of weird. But it was fun for me. Like, that's just one of the unique things about being a hockey player is that you kind of cross all paths. And most hockey players in Utah, there's 6 degrees of separation of people in, you know, in the world. But in hockey, there's like 2. Like, in hockey in Utah, if you know somebody that plays hockey, then you know that person knows somebody else you know or whatever. It's a small world.
I want to interject 1 second here. We have a new kid on our team, Ryan Cooper. He's from London, Ontario. He came to us just prior to the deadline. And it, like many player acquisitions, I get a call from an advisor who I know very well in Buffalo, New York. Says, hey, Kev, I got a kid named Ryan Cooper. He's in Utica. It's not going well. Would you take him? Paul and I watch film. We had a brief conversation with him. Yeah, we'd like him to come. So his mom, Brandy, in London, Ontario, texts me last week. Do you know Dave Norris? I go, sure, I know Dave Norris. I played with him in 1977 in Fort Wayne in the IHL, and also 78 and 79. He goes, and then Ryan, your kid that's playing for us now, wears number 11 if you're out to a game Saturday night. Yeah, do you know Dave Norris? Sure. That's my uncle.
Wow.
It's 45 years later, and I'm standing on the ice at the Acorn, and I'm talking to a kid who I played with his uncle 45 years ago.
Yeah.
It is a very small world to your
point,
Jay.
Yeah, that's insane. Okay, so for those that don't know, and I know I've gotten a little heat from a couple Outliers and definitely a couple Mustangs, because on the show I've called, trying to explain it, I've said, all right, we've got junior hockey. I call it junior A-. And that's what I called it when I coached the Mustangs to my players. I said, we're not Tier 1, we're Tier 2, Junior A, but parents don't know what Tier 1 and Tier 2 is. And A- is, to me, it was kind of funny, but it was also, it's just a way of saying it's not USHL and it's not NHL, but it's still Junior A hockey. And now you guys have gone up a league. So why don't you explain to us a little bit about the league that you're in this year, how you get players, and what the players have to put in to be here? Because you're not paid to play anymore, or are you?
No, we are not.
Okay, so will you tell us a little bit about the league?
You know, that's a great question, Jay. And let's just go through. The USHL is Tier 1. The Canadian Hockey League, the Western Hockey League, Ontario, and the Quebec League is also Tier 1 junior. There are Tier 2 leagues across Canada. And then in our realm in the United States, you have Tier 2, which is North American Hockey League, which is a competitor to us, and the NCDC. We are in a brand called the USPHL, United States Premier Hockey League, and our Tier 2 brand is the NCDC. We as a division had decided to go Tier 2. And, you know, if you want to backtrack about 4 years ago, the Outliers, the Mustangs, and the then Colorado Eagles attempted to join the North American League.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we made our application. There was a lot of paperwork we did. Flew to Minnesota for interviews. It ultimately didn't work. We didn't see a clear path to that, so we went in a different direction. And listen, from a competitive standpoint, you know, the NA's got 32 teams or whatever they have. I wouldn't have a problem playing any of them. And many of them, I'll play them in a best of seven, and I'm going to Vegas, and I'm putting money on my team.
Okay.
I think we're very good. I think our division's very good. Obviously, you mentioned the Ogden Mustangs. We have a terrific rivalry. We played them this past Friday and Saturday. And we think we compete with them. They've been around longer. They've got better, as their commissioner says, we have better propaganda. But we have no problem. We think we compete with them very well.
Well, yeah, you beat them, right? I mean,
well, I'm talking about North American.
Yeah. We bring comparisons, like, and it's hard to know until you actually do it, but we compare that all the time with, like, University of Utah men's D1 club and NCAA Division III. So there are benefits and to playing one and not playing the other. And for me, like, there wasn't really Tier 2. There was the North American Hockey League back in 1992 when I was looking to play somewhere else, 91.
Sure.
But mostly there was Junior B. There was Junior A and there was Junior B. And I think now they've kind of said, we have enough players that probably would be like a third line, fourth line Junior A guy. So let's not call it Junior B. Let's be Junior A. I mean, is that for, like, it's not diluting it. You just probably have more players to pick from.
Well, I don't know. I think it really has a function of whether you're paying to play or not. You know, now our kids,
sure,
they don't pay tuition to play. Most junior A leagues in Canada do pay to play now. They've gone in that direction. And, you know, that's their decision that they've made. We've made a decision to go in the non-pay, and we do get access to, you know, put it this way, I get calls from advisors now, hey, you know, will you take this kid? And I'll be honest with you, we've had several kids come in from the North American League this year that couldn't stick with us.
Oh, well.
So, you know, that's not necessarily a testament to us or maybe to a detriment to the player. They just weren't good enough. So,
yeah, I think that probably really does start leveling out the playing field.
It certainly does.
Where do you get your funding? You just have to go and just – it's not just ticket sales.
So that will lead to, maybe a little later in this discussion,
okay,
here, the new rink up in Park City. But Rich Wolper is our owner, and he's been very gracious. And, in the past we've had – you know, obviously the pay-to-play model, but this year it's been a challenging year. Our new rink is going to open this fall. It will be the first privately owned arena in the state of Utah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, where we keep all of the naming rights and the advertising rights, the in-ice, the dasher boards, it's got a full liquor license. Beer, wine, and liquor, the food and beverage. So the business model changes dramatically this coming season for us.
Yeah, that's unreal. I mean, I cannot tell you. I've heard all the rumors about this happening, and I know there was some other stuff happening, and it was supposed to be happening in Lehigh, and I keep hearing this stuff, and I keep hearing we're going to get private rinks, and I really like that because, like, the scheduling for hockey right now is ridiculous, and it's you know, obviously we only care about hockey or, unless you have a daughter that's a figure skater, but you're like, oh, why do the figure skaters get from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. when there's three people out there? It could be hockey time. If you have a privately funded rink, it's whoever pays the bills gets the ice, right?
Well, not only that, our building, and maybe it's, you know, a little later in the podcast here, but we'll talk and
we might as well just get into it.
Well, let's go right now. So then we'll talk about our season in the playoffs later. So this will be the first privately funded arena in the state of Utah. It will be 2,078 seats seated for hockey plus standing room. It'll be for an end stage concert. It'll be just a hair under 3,000, 2,965 to be exact. Comedy, concerts, Sundance Film Festival. But it's also attached to a 200-room condo hotel, which has really 300 keys because you can break off, you know, some of the units into lockoffs. So we're also attached to a really, really nice four-star resort.
Wow.
And it's up and operating. Phase two is under construction. I think they've got 80 of the units are sold and, you know, working on the rest of them now, in addition to the new arena. It's called Black Rock Mountain Resort. Right now we're calling the event center the Black Rock Mountain Event Center. That will change to a corporation soon to be named.
Okay.
And so we'll have the ability to bring in elite youth hockey players, house them in the hotel, feed them, play events, bring in schools to watch them. Great recruiting tool for us. So we're very, very excited about that opportunity. There will also be a lot of corporate events tied into the hotel where you pick a company and they're bringing in 2 or 3 days or 4 days and they're going to do corporate meetings there. They'll have a chance in the ballroom to do their meetings. They can walk next door and recreate. They want to play broom ball. They want to public skate just amongst themselves. Private concerts. You know, that's a big business here in Utah, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, that, you know, some of these venues, excuse me, are, you know, they'll bring in a big-name band and pay them a lot of money for a private event.
Yeah.
So it's...
amazing.
So it'll be a multi-purpose facility. The Outliers, certainly Utah Outliers, will be the main tenant there, and among other things.
That's amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am about this. This is just it's very incredible stuff that we've been talking about getting something like that. I think maybe this is even with the hotel and all that with it. That's next level from what we've even been praying for here, because we've needed something different. We always need more ice here. And I keep telling people, like, oh, hockey's only so big in Utah. I'm like, every time we build an arena, we sell it out. So people keep thinking, well, hockey's going to stop growing, but it's not going to stop growing. Every time we build it, we sell it out, and the demand is there. And then with all these players that you guys have, where have you been getting players? Like you said you go do recruiting.
Sure, yeah.
Are these – this is maybe a three-part question. How many European-style players do you go for? Is there room? Do you, like, keep room for local players? We'll just go with those two for now.
So let's start with the local aspect first. Last year we had a goalie named Jackson Letty, currently plays at the University of Utah. And he had a terrific season. There was, you know, I think being a local kid, he actually played for Paul and I year one here. We had a youth program that we didn't keep around too long. And Jackson was the goalie on our youth program that year. And It was pretty cool to have him being a part of last year. I think he went 16-2 last year. He was terrific. So this year we have no local players. We wish we had more, but I think, and you know, we were talking about the NHL potentially coming here. If that ever works, that would be an unbelievable blessing for the hockey community. We are very hopeful Ryan Smith can get that done. We believe he will. And but that will grow the game. It'll add more rinks. It will grow the game. And, you know, then we could have potentially more local players. As far as Europeans this year, the makeup of our team is, I think we have 6 Euros. I've got 7 Canadians and 13 Americans.
Okay.
So it's 13, 7, and 6. And, you know, and it's ebbed and flowed this year. It's been an interesting year with player turnover.
Do you have a lot of turnover with players?
You know, we've had more this year than Paul and I probably had in the last 4 or 5 years combined. But remember, it's our first year at the Tier 2 level, so we have a better understanding of what we're looking for next year. And, you know, when I'm out recruiting and stuff, I can narrow it down much quicker this year than just like this whole blanket of, geez, is this kid going to be good enough? We have a better idea now of what we're looking for.
When you recruit, and now you're competing with the NA and you're competing with other teams. What's your sales pitch? Is it Utah? Is it the fact that you're not paid to play, that they're scholarship now? Or are these kids still looking to go NCAA? Do you guys have players going NCAA?
So that's an interesting question. Number one, we win.
Okay.
Okay, we have won the Mountain Division in the USPHL at the lower level the last 3 years. We're the division champion. We've gone to a tournament-style series back east all 3 years. So we win, and kids want to play for winners. I think college programs are looking for players from winning programs. So first and foremost, it helps to win. Secondly, I mean, we were talking prior to starting the podcast here. Look where we're at. My goodness, we're in Utah. We're moving to Park City in a brand new facility that's going to be fantastic, attached to a hotel. And at 7,000 feet or 6,980, I think the ice surface is going to be at. We think that gives us a nice home ice advantage. Like to get a couple of those sea level teams at the east out here, right?
Yeah.
And deprive them of oxygen. But so just look at where we're at. We feel that gives us a big advantage in our geographical location as well. It's a spectacular community. It's a safe community. I mean, who wouldn't want to be here? So winning the community in our program. I mean, we're not a cute and fuzzy animal. We are not a weather pattern, the storm, the lightning, the hurricanes, or whatever. We're actually a book.
Oh, yeah.
So they have the book Outliers. Obviously, Malcolm Gladwell, written in 2008, is a book about advantages in your chosen endeavor, and our chosen endeavor is junior hockey. And we feel our mindset of using advantages in our chosen field gives us a better advantage.
Yeah, I like that. It's funny too. I was talking to Madison, our producer, before, and I was saying, you know, the crazy thing about in Park City, and a lot of people don't know this, is how many NHL players live there.
Yeah,
it's
more and
the
more
summer, and they're. I've had, again, being a goalie that people seem to have my number. Like Claude Lemieux will call me, be like, hey, you know, we're having training up here because they used to do their high altitude training up here. Rob Blake, Ian LaPerriere. Everybody knows that, let's see, I'm trying to think of all the other players that are up there. But anyway.
Well, Kevin Miller's retired here. Jack Skilly's retired here. There's more kids.
Luke Robitaille's up there.
Robitaille has a house in Deer Valley, I believe it is. And you've got Brad Marchand's out here a lot.
Yeah. And now they have their, what I was getting to too is now they're going to have their kids living right there. And, you know, you've got Brzgalov's kid playing for, is it Brzgalov's kid?
Yeah, in Ogden. He just moved up, he moved on to the BCHL a couple of weeks ago.
But you have opportunities like that because they're getting to be that age now, and some of them have been growing up here as skiers and hockey players, and a lot of people don't know they live here.
And now we'll have private ice.
Yeah, and now I was just putting pieces together as you were talking. I was like, this could really happen. You could have some big names on that team.
Well, I mean, you look at Rob Blake and Luke Robitaille with the Kings. Rich Wolper knows them very well, and we've had discussions about potentially in the future having a rookie league tournament there.
Oh, yeah.
We can house them in the hotel. Yeah. We can feed them in the hotel. They can hang all their gear up in the rink and not have to leave. And our rink will be NHL size, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
not Olympic.
As a former equipment rep that went to all the Kings rookie tournaments, and then I was always going to the Detroit ones and all that stuff, Park City would be a huge draw for those guys. They would love that. And to be able to just be right there, and yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, you've got an international airport, you know, 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
So they can fly in. As I say, we've got the hotel, the arena, the altitude. I know a lot of teams don't mind. I know the Florida Panthers, their previous owner prior to Vinny Viola, he used to have a place in Vail. He'd take the team to Vail for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a quasi-vacation, but it was training camp at the Dobson Arena, and, you know, they love the altitude aspect of it.
Which I love that arena, too.
It's the best.
That is such
we were just talking about the roof. Yeah, it's spectacular.
I was talking about it the other day. I can't remember. We had somebody else on the show, and I can't remember. But when I go there and I see that arena, I'm like, I can't believe this amazing barn. Like, this is such a traditional hockey arena. And it's just here. I feel like it's going to waste there, but I'm sure it's not. But for me, I want to.
Oh, it gets used a lot.
Yeah,
for
I know.
Sure.
I know it does, and I know Vail has a team now. And they always kind of have a team or whatever. But man, what a cool building!
Hey,
I can't wait to say that about your building.
So you talk about private events. I was in Vail. I had a friend of mine who worked at the rink there, and there was a corporate event going on. There was about 300 people at this event, and they had Hootie and the Blowfish playing.
Oh, wow.
You know, for 300 people. And that's an example of what we can do in our arena.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that. I can't wait to see it. And so you've got, like, there's no ribbon cut. You've already dug soil. You're ready to go. You've got, you were telling me you've got steel coming in.
Well, we had 6 truckloads of steel delivered this morning.
And you plan on ice being in that building when?
You know, if we can get all the steel up by the end of March, which we believe we can, so we'll be, you'll be standing in the building and you won't have snow hitting the top of your head. We think it'll be 6 months from then. So mid to late October.
Okay. And you're going to have just an awesome locker room for the Outliers?
I sent you pictures of it. You'll look at it. You can post it on your website here. Our locker room suite will be about 3,000 square feet.
Wow.
It will be not only a locker room, it'll have changing room, a player's lounge, medical room, coaches' facilities, an infrared sauna. Out on the back side of it, within our locker room, we're going to have a shooting range for our players, a synthetic shooting range.
You guys need an e-bug?
Yeah, come on up.
This sounds amazing. Like, this sounds amazing.
All right, we'll stand on the side and watch the boys shoot.
Okay, so that's how we got to where we're at. We know about you now, and we know about, but we didn't really talk about your playing past.
No.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, man. I'll give you the Cole's Notes version.
Let's do it.
So, Paul and I always continually chuckle. I'm American, born and raised in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Played all the sports. I started figure skating at 6, playing hockey at 7. And I loved hockey from day one, and I was going to be in the NHL. I was going to just be a pro hockey player. That's all I cared about. Started working at summer camps in Ontario by the time I was 12. At 15, moved. I played 2 years of midget hockey. You would call it U16, you know, 15, 16 now. A year of our level of hockey, the Tier 2 level. 2 years of major junior. I was the 61st pick in the draft in Minnesota in 77. I was really, really fortunate to play on the very first ever World Junior team for the USA in the World Juniors. That tournament was in Banska Bystrica and Zvolen, Czechoslovakia. That was a pretty cool trip. In 1977.
Yeah.
Christmas of 76 turning into 77 in a communist country. It was unique.
Yeah.
Amazing. 4 years as a pro, and then my mom and dad had moved to Fort Lauderdale, and I was coming off shoulder surgery, and I was in Lauderdale for 33 years. I owned a rink for a couple of years. It died in Hurricane Wilma, which was probably another good blessing. It was a tough business to be in South Florida. So Paul, on the other hand, is Canadian and played in the BCHL, played U.S. college hockey, turned pro after a couple of years, and he had 8 or 9 year run, and former goalie, your position of choice. So we always chuckle. I'm American, played Canadian junior. He's Canadian that played, you know, U.S. college. So we cover all the bases just in reverse.
Nice.
So very, very fortunate that I'm still involved in the game and get to, you know, work with kids and help kids. And, you know, and Paul, I think, really, and I look at this, if we can be a part of a kid's journey to wherever it leads to, whether it's in, you know, when Paul was in Dallas, he's got guys in the NHL still playing today in D1 and in years past. And we have a lot of D3 players from here. We have 5 kids at the University of Utah that loved it here so much they never left.
Yeah.
They just, we're not leaving. So that's
cool.
A testament to the area as well.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
So that's kind of a short version of our careers.
No, I think that's good to get that, to let people know, because sometimes, you know, they know you're doing stuff behind the scenes, but they don't know that you were a hockey guy before. And I knew. Evan Stofflett knew everything about you for some reason and kind of filled me in the first time you called me to e-bug or whatever. I can't remember what it was for, but yeah, it's cool. I mean, that's an amazing upbringing, and it's pretty awesome.
I've been doing it for a long time. I probably tipped my age off a little bit when I said I played with Ryan Cooper's uncle
45 years ago.
In Fort Wayne, who of course plays against the Grizzlies periodically.
Yeah. Before we move on to what's going on with the Outliers, I wanted to touch on one more thing that's going to be competitive, and just to get your thoughts on it. You've heard that the Canadian League is now going to do, the NCAA is going to allow Canadian hockey players or out of the major juniors. Have you heard this?
Well, we could talk about this on another podcast.
Another whole hour?
Yeah. Yes, obviously I've heard it. we'll see what happens. You know, there was a historic NCAA case in that was finally adjudicated in June of 2021. I believe it was a Northwestern football player who went after the NCAA to get paid. And, you know, it ultimately ended up where it went through the appellate process. And I don't think our Supreme Court agrees on much. By a 9-0 vote, ruled that kids could get paid.
Yeah.
And the NIL money has gone, you know, through the roof.
Crazy.
So, you know, I've kind of been in the position, if a kid really wanted to, who played Canadian junior hockey, wanted to play NCAA, he could since, you know, June of 2021. There has been precedents that a kid that played with the Erie Otters has been playing at Bowling Green, just transferred to Michigan Tech. So I hear it's coming, and, you know, listen, it's we'll see how it unfolds and when it will unfold.
I think that's going to change. So my thing has always been play in the USHL. If you're good enough to play Canadian or whatever, I would say, and I'm 100% biased, but I would tell people play in the USHL rather than go over there so that you can play your full junior career and then go play 4 years at Michigan or
wherever.
Maine,
yeah,
or North
Ferris
Dakota.
State.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. But, you know, the counter argument, and so Brandon Manick, who's one of my best friends, mm-hmm. his son had the option. And I kept saying, look, you're drafted by the Omaha Lancers.
Yep.
Yes, you were also drafted by the Portland Winterhawks, but I think you should go to, go to Omaha, go play in the USHL. Well, that coach rubbed him wrong, so he went Canadian Juniors. And now they're paying for his college on the back end, but he's not playing. Like, he had a stint with the Utah Grizzlies, but he's not playing anymore, but it's still getting paid for. But, you know, they have that game where you got to start school within 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now I go skate with the Grizzlies. And there's a lot of those guys that are like, hey, I got to start my, you know, my degree. So
right.
Now they can do it online. But they're, you know, trying to play pro, trying to do school online, trying to do ride-alongs with me. Because a lot of them are trying to be firefighters now, too.
For sure.
So it's like, I don't know. That really does kind of change. To me, it changes the landscape quite a bit. Of where you can play, because those are pretty amazing places to play too. Like, you know, playing for the London Knights, or, you know, amazing.
Well, or you could go to, like, you know, Prince Albert,
right,
Saskatchewan.
Yeah,
it's not so nice up there. And I'm not dissing Prince Albert, but if you've ever been there,
yeah,
it's a long, cold winter.
Well, yeah.
They're not either, Portland Winterhawks and sexy cities. I played my draft year in Calgary, the old Calgary Centennials.
Oh well.
And that was the first year of the Portland Winterhawks, and we had a blast. Roy Sommer and myself were two of, I think, five Americans playing Canadian junior then. And it was cool going into Portland with 10,000 people. Fabulous support. But, you know, it will change the landscape. We'll see how it's going to unfold. I think there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet. And, you know, from our perspective, with Paul and I here, we'll adapt accordingly and, you know, we'll move on.
Well, it sounds like you guys, I mean, I'm just thoroughly impressed every time I get a chance to talk to somebody from your organization. Like, I love Bill. And
Bill McLeod's been, what a blessing that guy is. Bill and Lisa are fabulous. They do our billet coordinating for us. He's our PA announcer. If he screams, let's make some noise any louder, I think it just oozes out of his ears. It's so funny. He's been absolutely terrific.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. And then dealing with you, and we had Paul on before, and just... Like, you guys are really putting together a professional-level organization. It's just been fun to watch, and I'm so thankful that you guys are here. I'm a little upset that you weren't here when I was, you know, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I chased hockey into some pretty weird areas, but to be able to play here would have been unbelievable.
Oh, I would agree. There was a guy, when I was in St. Catharines when I was 18 years old, Brian Patafi, was my assistant, I don't know, therapist or equipment manager, whatever. And we've got some funny stories from that year. But, you know, Taff now is retired.
He's a stand-up comedian.
Comedian now. Yeah. He's doing a fabulous job of that. I'm in touch with him 3 or 4 times a year. And I know he's always said that the best stop he ever had in his career, and it was a long career, was Salt Lake City.
Yeah, he's always clung to that.
For sure.
Actually got my very first pair of leg pads from Patafi. And it was pretty cool. I knew I was going to be a hockey goalie, and I was borrowing stuff. And the Salt Lake Golden Eagles were here, and he said, hey, you probably need better gear. I was going to Shattuck St. Mary's. My junior year, I was going to Shattuck St. Mary's, and they're like, you're going to need better gear there
right.
than you're using at high school hockey here in Utah. And he's like, we just had this set that was left here from the Olympics, because he had just come back with Team Canada.
Right.
And he's like, so I have this set of pads. It says Trevor Kidd all over it, but no, Sean Burke. It was Sean Burke's gear. So anyway, I had New Jersey Devil Sean Burke pads. It was my first pads from
Petoskey. I'm assuming the Burke pads are a little longer than the Trevor Kidd pads.
Yeah.
Or but, taller.
Well, back then, I think they're all 32s. I think everybody just wore 32. And now I'm in a 37 and a half or whatever, but crazy.
Makes you a better goalie, right?
Every time I give up a goal, I'm like, man, I just needed a better gear for that one. Like,
yeah,
bigger glove.
Right.
But yeah, it was my stick's fault. So let's talk about what's going on with the Outliers. It's playoff season. The Outliers have had probably one of your best seasons in a long time. You've had some ups and downs, new league. It's not like the playoffs last year. Tell us what's coming up for the Outliers and how we can get tickets and where we can watch you guys play.
Well, so as we wind the season down, we have 7 games remaining. Ogden has 9. We're the 2 wagons in this deal. Ogden's 1 point ahead of us. They have 2 games in hand. We got them both games. We beat them 2-1 in overtime Friday night at the A Court, and we were up at the Ice Sheet on Saturday. We beat them 4-3. Both terrific games. And we need a little help to finish first. Last year and the year before, we won the division in the regular season by double digits both years and then swept the playoff both years. It's been a lot more parity, although Ogden and the Outliers have skipped off by about probably 15 points from third place, which is Provo. And we'll see how it finishes up. And our playoffs this year is a different format. The Mountain Division, the first place team will play the fourth place team. 2 will play 3. In best of fives, that's the first time that we've ever played best of fives, which is closer to my favorite best of sevens.
Yeah.
But so we're excited about that. So, right now, third place is Provo. Idaho Falls is in fourth by a point over Pueblo. And these games matter. Every night we're scoreboard watching to see how it's playing out. So obviously the 2 winners of those series will meet for the division final. And once the division winner is crowned, then we will fly east and play the winner. There's 2 divisions in the east. They will come out with 1 winner. So the winner of each of those divisions will play a best of 5. Whoever wins that, we will go play in their building in a best of 3 the last weekend in April.
Oh, wow.
So we're excited about that. And, we're kind of happy that it's east this year, because next year, with a little bit of good fortune and everything, maybe we'll be hosting it up in Park City.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
That would be amazing. So,
you guys typically play 3 games in a weekend, 2 or 3 games in a weekend anyway, so you kind of get a little bit of playoff taste every week. But for some reason, in my experience, when you go from a best of 3 to a best of 5 or a best of 7, man, the hate.
It just ramps up.
The hate, the feelings, the physicality of the game. Is that a real word, physicality?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. We actually changed our scheduling this year. We've only played 2 3 game sets.
Oh.
So we've been mostly a Friday, Saturday night. This week we're Friday in Rock Springs. We're home to Rock Springs on Saturday. We have a makeup game in Rock Springs Tuesday. As the I-80 was closed down, our team was on the bus towards Evanston. And I-80 closed down. We had to turn around and come back, so that we have a rescheduled game Tuesday. But we're primarily a Friday-Saturday league now, which is nice because, from our perspective, we feel that, Sunday's our off day.
Yeah.
And it used to be we'd play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday was the off day. You get 3 days of practice, and you're back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We get an extra day of training this year. Well, you do that by 28 weeks. We probably pick up an extra 25 practices, 25 days in the gym of lifting. So we feel from a development standpoint, our season is a little bit longer. We go to March 23rd this year, and then playoffs start. So we're excited because of the additional training we get.
Awesome. You guys have a big fundraiser game coming up. Is it this weekend?
We do. It is Saturday night against Rock Springs.
So you guys play Friday and Saturday?
We play Friday in Rock Springs, and then Saturday night we're home to Rock Springs. And it is our cancer awareness game. We're very excited. It is
The Ink Against Cancer.
Ink Against Cancer is the local charity that we're working with. You know, it's a fantastic opportunity for them to get some exposure. It's great for us. And you know, I don't think, Jay, I would think that everybody listening to this podcast has got somebody that's affected by cancer.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, you know, I have a daughter who's now 38 years old, so it's a happy ending. At 17 months old, a long time ago, she was diagnosed with lymphocytic leukemia.
Jeez.
So as a young parent, I went through it. And as I said, it had a happy ending, but Kate's been terrific. She's married, fabulous husband, two kids, lives in Fort Myers, Florida. And, you know, so I got touched early on. So now, you know, I had a friend of mine's 50-year-old son died 3 months ago in Boca Raton, Florida. Just, you know, it got the best of them. So
yeah.
I think we've all been touched by it in some way, shape, or form. So we feel it's a really worthy cause. And we'd love to see you all out there on Saturday night at the Acord at 6:35 puck drop.
All right, Saturday night at the Acord. And how do they get tickets?
So UtahOutliers.com. Click on tickets, and it guides you right to it.
And they're not expensive.
$12.
$12. I mean, it's movies more than that now.
It really is. I don't go to many movies. But I've heard they're more expensive than $12. So.
And you guys have... I did get to see some of a game a little while ago, and Leon Wyatt.
He's famous in
so
my book.
I have known Leon. He was kind of our unofficial mascot when I started radio in like 1987 at K-Bear. I think I can say K-Bear when I'm in the other building. But when I started radio back then, he was still around then, and he was just the same energetic, positive Uncle Leon that comes in and is just like, he just supports everybody, he cheers everybody on. And again, another just awesome part of, like, he's not part of the Outliers, but he's part of the Outliers. He's just there.
He's a fixture, and he helps us in between intermissions moving nets and stuff like that. He's got his Outlier jersey. He has been a fantastic supporter of the Utah Outliers.
We can't thank him enough.
He's so much fun, too. Like, I was in Minnesota a couple weeks ago recruiting, and he's at the game. And I had the game on my computer, but I was watching live hockey, and I could just keep track on a whistle on the ice. I could glance down, and Leon stands up, and he's texting me during the game. And it's like, you know, what's going on with this, and why is this so... great relationship. He's a fantastic human being.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love him. All right, so UtahOutliers.com. That's how we find tickets. This Saturday night, 6:30, and it's Ink Against Cancer. Ink Fights Cancer. Those guys were the Grizzlies the other night, and like I said, I almost got roped into getting a Grizzlies logo tattoo, which I I'm kind of surprised I don't already have one, and two, I don't really want one. But if Madison will get one, then I'll get one.
Well, how about go the other way? Let's go with an Outlier logo. Forget this. Listen, we love the Grizzlies, but an Outlier one would be, you know.
Yeah, I have zero games played for the Outliers, though, but I have 6 minutes with the Grizzlies, so that's still not quite enough to get a...
Well, unless you have a different passport or a different birth certificate, you're not playing for us, Jay.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask, because, I mean, if you got that new building, I want to be there. I want to come and just... I don't know. Can I just hang around? If I can't play, can I just catch pucks in the stands or something?
Yeah, you can come hang out in the locker room. Paul's got a big coach's room there.
Oh, nice.
And big screen TVs in it. It'd be a nice suite. We've got a 3,000 square foot home suite for our team.
So you got a
coach's
suite and a liquor license. I'm in.
There you go. I don't know if we're delivering cocktails to the coach's room, though.
Well, we'll work on that. Maybe Leon can start bringing cocktails down.
Yeah, right.
He likes to support people.
So, for sure.
Kevin, I can't thank you enough. I freaking love everything you guys are doing for Utah hockey. Because I know, I know we're going to get to NHL. I feel it. I know it. And that's going to get more arenas here. But the work that you guys have done and the fact that you've been here for 9 years doing it and this building is going to be... just
electric.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. It's so exciting. And I was excited before, but now you told me more. I was just excited. I thought you were just gonna throw up like a rink somewhere, and I was like, that's awesome, I'm in. And then you tell me all these cool features.
Well, I just sent you pictures of renderings of it, and you know, once we go off here, I can actually show you the floor plan and stuff too if you'd like. But we're very excited, particularly if the NHL can come. We think, you know, Ryan Smith is obviously, he's now ingrained in sports, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, yep.
I've always heard, I've never met him, but I've always heard he's been a golfer for, like, since, like, forever. So he's had sport in his blood, and now he's got basketball and soccer and soon to be hockey, hopefully. And,
yeah, hopefully.
You know, I would assume that they're going to build a new arena for the Olympics coming up, which would host the Jazz and the, you know, soon-to-be Salt Lake City NHL team, maybe.
Yeah, the Utah,
we'll see how
Utah,
that unfolds.
Utah Coyotes. Or the Utah Yetis, that comes up a lot. I could be the mascot there. I don't know if you've seen me without my shirt, but it's pretty
Yeti-ish. Nobody's called us to use our name yet. So. Well,
so it's not outliers. I don't know. It could be. You never know.
Yeah, but listen, I just hope we have a team that we get to name, you know, a name the team contest, whatever it's going to be. But we would be thrilled if the NHL comes here.
Yeah.
We think it would be great for the market, great for the community. As we talked earlier, it's a fantastic community. And, you know, it's a very sporting community, too.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the area will support it. And like I was saying before we went on the air, and I know I'm biased and maybe I'm dreaming, but I think it's going to be the Coyotes, and I think they come sooner rather than later. I don't think it's an expansion thing. But anyway, that's pretty much all the time we have. Unless there's anything else you want to add that you want the people that downloaded this episode to hear.
See you Saturday night. See you the Acord Ice Arena at 6:35 puck drop.
Against the Idaho Spud Kings?
No, that's...
No, you're playing Rock Springs.
Rock Springs,
Rock Springs.
Grizzlies, yeah.
Rock Springs Grizzlies. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. That's awesome. And all right, that's it. Thanks for being on the show.
I appreciate it, Jay. Thanks for having us, and thanks for supporting hockey the way you do with your podcast here. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. Thanks, KSL, for letting us do it. And that is the...
Madison, well done.
Well done, Madison. And that is the Utah Puck Report.